Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Good morning, church. How are we doing? Everyone here, we're happy, we're healthy, glad to be here, didn't get rained out. No, we're a church that isn't afraid of a little rain, apparently. I know summer's over, but I feel like Wisconsin is just rubbing it in our faces right now. Hey, if you're new here, I really just want to say welcome. I genuinely hope that you feel welcome here. I remember a certain time when I went and visited a church by myself once, and it was one of the more awkward hours of my life. And so I know that walking in these doors might have been a bit awkward for you. I sincerely hope that by the time you walk back out those doors, it's a little bit less awkward. All right, so we're glad you're here. We're glad you're with us. The question for this morning is really a question for people that call this place home. But I think it's a good question for everybody. It's why do we serve together? Now think about that. Not just why do we serve as Christians, but why do we serve together? Like, why is serving such a big thing here? Right? Like, if you've been here for more than 2 weeks, you've probably been asked to serve at something already, right? Hi, my name's so-and-so. Oh, my name's so-and-so too. Hey, by any chance, would you mind serving with this, that, or the other ministry? Why is this the way it is? Why is this a church where you're not just invited to spectate, but also to participate? Why are we a church that so consistently asks people to roll up their sleeves and get involved? Like, we could just be a church where a few key people are paid, and they do all the work, and then everyone else can just kind of show up as a consumer, get what they need, and then go about their days. But that's not who we are. Why? Quick answer is because that's not the church. Like, that's not how God engineered the thing to work, right? Like, any business can create a product and a transactional atmosphere where people come, they pay, they buy something, and they leave. But there's got to be something different between a church and a Walmart, I would hope, right? Here's what it comes down to. Here's the general principle. There is something powerful when individuals set aside personal agendas and pull together and accomplish something good. You get that? There's something powerful when people set aside any sort of selfishness, pull together, and they work together to accomplish something good. Probably the best example of this that I could think of took place on that day that we all remember. 21 years ago today. You guys know the day I'm talking about if you're 25 or older. That day when it seemed like everything stopped, right? That day when, in one swift blow, over $10 billion of infrastructure was damaged, 25,000 people were injured, and most tragically of all, nearly 3,000 people lost their lives. And to say 9/11 was a tragedy is an understatement. We should never forget that day. There's another side of that day that we should also remember. There's another side to that day and the days that followed that we should never forget as well. And here, this is my point. Do you remember watching the footage of people pulling together? Do you remember watching the footage and seeing firefighters and police officers and military personnel and other first responders and medical professionals and just average citizens and construction workers? I mean, people in business attire rolling up their sleeves, sifting through debris, finding people and saving them. There is something powerful about when people pull together and accomplish something good. And this similar concept, like something along those same lines, is intrinsically woven into God's design for the church. Did you get that? There's something similar in the church that's supposed to be there. And God engineered it that way. See, church isn't about me. Church isn't about you. Church is about us. And the church is ultimately about God. And when we get the us right, God gets the glory. Does that make sense? When we get the, when every single individual gets the collective right, God looks good on that church. And in the passage that we're going to look at today, Peter is going to explain that every single person has a very important role to play, but that role isn't for themselves. That role is actually for the whole and to the glory of God. Peter's going to explain a little bit how we should play that role, and Peter's going to explain why it's so important that we get this right. So what I want to do is read this passage. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Very short passage we're taking this morning. I want to read it, and then I want us to pray together. I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray in your heart with me that God would help us get this right. And then my goal is that you would leave here with a desire to find your spot, your role. So here it is, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Would you pray with me now? Okay, Lord, we've read these words that were written by a guy that was kind of like your right-hand man, a good friend, a faithful follower, a fisherman, a regular guy, an ordinary person that you called to follow you. And he's got a strong word for us now. He says some pretty powerful things in here, Lord. And so would you help us understand what Peter has to say, what it means for us, and then would you help us desire deeply to live that out, I pray, to the glory of the name of Jesus and for the sake of a world who needs you. I pray these things. Amen. So real quick, before we deep dive in here, it's important to know that Peter was writing this letter to believers who are scattered throughout several different regions. Right, so they're in various contexts. They're facing different hardships. One thing they all have in common, though, is that they're having their faith tested, something we might have in common as well. Two things he wants all of them to know in his letter. One, this ain't our home. And two, we ain't got much time left. Okay? This ain't our home. What do I mean by that? As followers of Christ, we have a much better home. Our citizenship is in heaven, and our life on earth is just a brief layover. Peter wants them to get that. And so he wants us to live sort of as aliens or foreigners in this place. Peter wants us to live differently, to live as citizens of heaven while we're just paying rent on earth. That's the first thing Peter wants people to know in his letter. The second thing he wants people to know is that we ain't got much time. He says, the end of all things is near. Translation, That means one of two things is going to happen soon. You're either going to kick the bucket or Jesus is going to come back. We ain't got much time, right? So this creates a bit of an urgency. When it comes to his teaching, we don't have time to get this wrong. His teaching's sort of a how-to guide for living life on earth. And he says, you got to figure this out today, okay? So with that sense of heavenly citizenship and heavenly urgency, let's read this portion of Peter's letter. And the first thing I want you to see that Peter points out is that every believer, this is according to Peter, every believer is gifted by God to serve others. Every believer, that means you. Let's read it. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. He says, as each has received a gift. He says, every believer, each, not some, he says, each has been gifted by God. Each. That means there's not a single person in this room who has been saved but has not been gifted. To process that. There's no such thing as a child of God who doesn't have purpose and gifting for that purpose. That means you. That means me. One of the most consistent images for the church in the whole New Testament is that of a body. Like, we are the various body parts of Jesus. We're his body. What does that mean? We're different, but we need each other, right? Like, my eyes and my feet are very different. They serve different purposes. They're gifted differently, but they need each other, don't they? My fingers and my mouth are different, but they need each other. Otherwise, hot wings wouldn't work, right? Like, we need each other. We got different roles, and none of them are more or less important, but they're all vital, and we need each other. We can't just be one giant ear, one giant mouth walking around, all right? And the kind of the point there is that if any single body part decides to not do its job, the entire body suffers. Does that make sense? You ever have a canker sore? It ruins everything. One part of the body decides to not do its job, the entire body feels it. If any one of us isn't living out our gifting, serving God in the ministry that he's made us for, we're all going to feel it. All right? So what that means is if you love Jesus, you have something to offer his body. As each has received a gift, use it. You hear that? Don't hoard it. Don't shortchange the rest of the body. Use it. And how? To serve one another. See, we're not gifted for ourselves. You don't use your gift to serve yourself. Like, I cannot use the gift that God has given me to promote myself. And it's not that Brandon's will come and Brandon or Brandon's kingdom come and Brandon's will be done. That's not how it works. No. We are gifted, and we're supposed to use it to serve one another, because the gift isn't ours. Hear what Peter says here. First of all, the fact that it's called a gift, the word in the Greek is charisma. And the first part of it, charis, is the word for grace, meaning it is given freely, though not deserved. It's not ours. Your gifting is not yours. He says you're supposed to use it to serve one another. Process this as good stewards of God's varied grace. We're supposed to be stewarding. A steward, what's a steward? It's a manager, not an owner. Stewards just take care of something for someone else. It's kind of like my money. It's not actually my money. It's God's money, and I'm a steward of it. And my kids, they're not actually my kids. They're God's kids, and I get to be the steward who raises them. My physical body, it's not actually mine. It's God's, and I'm supposed to be a steward. I'm supposed to use my body, make decisions for it, how I'm gonna burn calories and how I'm gonna ingest calories and what I'm gonna do, where I'm gonna go. I'm supposed to use God's body that he's given me for his purposes, right? And Peter says the same thing about the way you are uniquely gifted. Each, you have been given a gift by God, and you're supposed to use that gift to serve others. Now, how do we do that? Right? Imagine if you gave someone a guitar and you saw them using it as a baseball bat. How would you feel? There's a right way and wrong way to use a gift. We want to use our gifts to serve each other the right way. So how do we do this? Because this is really God's gift that he's given me, and he wants me to steward it well. Man, I bet we better get this right. Second thing I want you to see, here's how you know, here's the best way to use it right. You should use your gift like God would use it if he were you. Now process this logic with me. The first part of verse 11, Peter says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. You notice that Peter doesn't specify what type of gift he's talking about, because that's not the point. His point isn't what your gift is, but how you use it. So he loosely groups gifts into two categories. Like there's ones where you speak and there's ones where you serve. You may be specifically gifted in a way that involves a lot of speaking. For example, you may be gifted for a ministry of encouragement or a ministry of teaching or a ministry of preaching or a ministry of counseling. Or you might be gifted in a way that's less about speaking and just more about doing. You may be gifted for a ministry of administration or a ministry of hospitality or a ministry of service or a ministry of physical labor. Whatever your gifting is, the point is, and be it something super spiritual or something relatively natural, if it's supercharged by the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it's Christ exalting and therefore made for Christ-centered ministry. But either way, how should you use your gifting in service to others? Listen to what he says. If you're gifted in a way that involves speaking, one who speaks, how do you do it? As one who speaks oracles of God. Like, think about that. That if you're gifted in speaking, how do you use that? You use it with the reverence and discretion that you would have if God were speaking directly through you, as if it were his like actual words coming through you. I mean, that changes the way you would speak with your speaking gift, wouldn't it? You would say, man, if I'm going to talk, and when I'm going to use this gift, and this is I'm supposed to do it as if God were speaking right through me. God, what would you say in this situation? God, how would you say this? What would be your tone? What would be your timing? What would be the content of your message? If this is your gifting, if your gifting is this in this area and it involves speaking, here's an exhortation. You better know God's word. You better become, if this is your gifting, if your gifting has to do with communicating the truths of God, you better become a student of the word, right? Because you can't know what God would say if you don't know what God has said. Like, it's in this book where we learn like what God would say and how he would say it in certain situations. It's in this book that we start to get familiar with his character and who he is and what he's like and what he likes and what he dislikes and what he desires and what are his values. Let the one who speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. You use your gift like God would use it if he were you. And the one who serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. You process that. Like, if you have a serving gift, how do you do it? You say, man, if God were the one moving my muscles and controlling my fingers and, you know, my eyelids and my feet and making my decisions, how would he do it? How would God be present in this space? How would God interact in this situation? What action would he take? What plan would he execute on? Would he be hurried? Would he be angry here? Would he be stern? Would he have grace? Would he have patience? Like, if it were Jesus in this situation, how would Jesus serve? What's the best way to ensure you're using your gift the right way? You ask yourself, am I using my gift in the way God would use it if he were in my shoes? That makes sense? Okay, and then a final piece here. Peter's going to tell us why all of this is so, so important. He basically says that when we get this right, God is glorified. Number three, when we all, why do we serve together? When we all use our gifts to serve one another, God looks good on us. Okay, verse 11, the second part here, he says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. In order that, right? So here's the goal. Here's why this is so important. Here's why I want you to use your gifts to serve one another in the way God would use them and steward them well. Here's why. In order that in everything God may be glorified, shown to be glorious, proven to be differently beautiful, worthy, shown to be worthy to be praised, lifted up, exalted above all others. That's what it means to be glorified. And notice he says, through Jesus Christ, that God would be glorified through Jesus Christ. Wait, wasn't this through us? And now he's saying if we do this, he's glorified through Jesus? How does that make sense? We are an extension of Jesus. We're his body. We're his bride. He's our better half. We're incomplete without him. We're an extension of Jesus. Think about this. We're his redeemed, beloved, forgiven family. And through him, our service to each other displays God's beauty. Through Jesus, us using our gifts the right way displays the beauty of Jesus. Why should we all use our gifts to serve one another? Here's Peter's answer. Because it makes God look good through Jesus. All right? There's something powerful. There's something powerful when people set aside personal agendas, pull together, and accomplish something good. Better than that, there's something powerful when the people of God use the gifts of God to do the work of God to the glory of God. You hear that? There is something powerful when the people of God use the gifts of God to do the work of God to the glory of God. That will preach to an unbelieving world. So what does this mean for us, Alliance Church Hortonville? Well, it means that every believer has a ministry. There's no such thing as a ministryless believer. It also means that as a church, we cannot glorify God the way we are meant to if we operate with a small portion of people doing a bulk of the work. We can't maximize our glorification of God if 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work. If a select small group of paid staff and a couple key volunteers are doing a bulk of carrying the load, we're not going to glorify God the way he calls us to. And so that means it's time for everyone who calls this place home. Now, if you don't call this place home, I hope this message will compel you to use your gift to serve in the church that you do call home, or to make it a goal that for one day when you do call this place home, you'll say, I'm gonna be a part of this thing. I'm gonna participate, not just spectate, right? But it's time for everyone who calls this place home to start exploring and discovering the role that God might have for you here. And before I talk about this too much more, I want to say there may be several of you in this room who are thinking, you know what, I've been coming here for a while, and I've wanted to employ my gift. I've even talked to you, Brandon. Or maybe I've talked to another member of staff, or I sent the email, and nothing's really come of it. If that's you, I want to say I'm sorry. I also want to say thanks for your patience. Thanks for hanging in there. Listen, we're going to get this thing figured out, and it's going to be good, but it's going to take time. So thanks for hanging in there, and know that on this up-and-coming trip around the sun together, this is what we're about. We want to find the right spot for you and the right, that we want to link you up well with the way you're made, the way you're gifted, with the way God is calling us to be the church. So over the course of the next year, we're going to be identifying certain functions of the church, certain functions that we should be doing, or maybe we've started doing and we need to build them out more. And then we're going to be building teams to accomplish those functions. Some of these teams are already in progress. But we're going to build the teams to accomplish those functions, and then we're going to create roles on those teams that you can fill. And we can't do everything. God doesn't even want us to do everything. But through prayer, conversation, and maybe a little bit of trial and error, we can get clarity on what God does want us to do as a church. And then we can do everything in our power to hit it out of the park. We can do everything we can to do the best we can with what we've got to the glory of God. And so you'll notice we've posted in the back some serving opportunities. There's a couple different boards here. And they've got descriptions on them of the serving opportunity. It'll also say on there, what type of person are we looking for? What types of activities are involved? What's the time commitment like? Right? Because we already know we need everything from people to do security to people to help set up and people that can help clean and people that can help cook and people that have a burden to pray and people who can run the tech, people who can do sound, people who are passionate about reaching out into the community, all sorts of different functions, all sorts of different roles, and all sorts of different times and varying commitments and frequencies and days of the week, etc. And just as we do this and we build this out, would you be praying and discerning? What am I supposed to do? Where do I fit? What should I be involved in? And really, my desire is that we find the right spot for you. Right? Because everyone's gifted differently. And we're not trying to put square pegs in round holes here. Right? I want you to find your shape for ministry, and then I want to connect you with a serving opportunity that fits. You know, how you're gifted and what you're passionate about, where you're experienced. Well, my encouragement to you is that you would discover your gifting for serving through serving. Does that make sense? Discover your gifting for serving by serving. Like it might take you a few tries to find the right spot. Here's you got permission from me to test drive ministries. Just do a trial period. Ask the ministry leader, hey, not sure if this is a fit or not, but I'm kind of intrigued. I'm kind of excited. Can I try this out for a few weeks? Listen, it's okay for a ministry to not be a fit for you. We want you to enjoy where you serve. We want you to grow from it. We want you to be free in it. So you have permission from me and from the rest of the team to change ministries if you need to. You try out a ministry and go, oh gosh, guess that wasn't for me. I'll try another one. We're all on the same team, all these ministries. It's not a competition. And I got just a couple ground rules for our serving culture here. Every believer has a ministry, yes. But more importantly, my desire is that at this church, every believer be healthy and serving with joy and passion. You process that? It's important to me that you serve. It's important to me that you have a ministry. But it's also important to me that you be healthy and that you serve with joy and passion, that you don't dread coming here to serve, or it's not out of guilt, right? So a couple things. Keep your life prioritized. Here's how it goes. Jesus, your spouse, your kids, then everything else. And ministry never goes on any rung but the everything else rung. Ministry never goes above any of those other first three rungs, okay? Here's a sentence. It would be best for my family if I didn't serve for a month or if I didn't serve for a season. That is always an acceptable statement. You believe me? Okay, it would be best for my own health if I took a few weeks off, if I didn't serve for this season. That's always an acceptable sentence. Just if you've made a commitment to a ministry leader and they're counting on you, try to figure that out not at 10 p.m. on Saturday night. Give them a heads up if possible. right? But the best gift you can give to this church is a healthy you, okay? So, I want you, here's my just my simple challenge. Find your ministry. Find your ministry. And then serve in it with joy and passion. Take as long as you need to find that ministry, but find your ministry and then serve with joy and passion. And we will benefit from this. You will benefit from this because nothing knits us together faster than serving together. It's one of the best ways to get connected. It's one of the best ways to move from feeling like a welcomed outsider to a belonging insider. Okay? Nothing, I mean, you ask two soldiers who have been through a battle in a foxhole. They don't know, they might not have known each other going into that fight, but coming out of it, they'll have a bond that is deep. Okay? The more intense the battle that we serve together in, the more accelerated the relationship building process is. Serving is integral to being connected. In fact, if one day you say, Brandon, I've been here for a while now and I just don't feel like I've gotten connected, my very first question is going to be, did you serve? Did you give a ministry a shot? All right. Would you stand with me now, church? I'm going to close in prayer and then read a benediction. Would you pray with me? God, we don't have time to not get this right. We've got to get this figured out, God. We have to be a church where every believer finds their ministry, uses their gifts to serve one another to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us do this. Would you help every person here, Lord, find their ministry, find their spot? And would you help us be a church where we serve in a healthy way, where we serve with joy and passion to the glory of your name? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, benediction adapted from today's verse. As you use your gifts to serve one another in the way God would use them, filled with his word and empowered by his strength, may God be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory